This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 37, Macro Photography on the Cheap, Reversing Rings, Extension Tubes, and Close-Up Lenses for February 12, 2008. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 37th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's podcast, we are going to do a podcast based on a suggestion from Yves Jans of the Netherlands. And Yves wanted to know in particular how to take macro shots, and he wanted to do it the cheap way. You know, obviously the best way is just to buy a dedicated macro lens, but we're not really going to talk about that today. Today we're going to talk about much, much cheaper setups that will get you good results. As always, love to get suggestions, and I'll continue to do podcasts based on your suggestions. If it takes me a little while, I apologize in advance. It took me about 3 or 4 weeks to get to this one, but Yves wasn't in a rush. We communicated by email, so thanks for your patience, Yves, and hope you get a lot or some from this podcast. But before we start, I'd like very much to thank Al for his comments on our last podcast where we talked about lighting round faces. He found the podcast quite useful, and I also got some other emails saying that it was useful, so thanks so much for those comments. Love to get them. As always, to get this podcast really quick, you can subscribe in iTunes. Just click the iTunes button on the front page of the blog that says subscribe in iTunes, and you'll get this podcast automatically every time we put one out. So now on to today's podcast. Like we said, we're going to talk about doing macro photography in a really cheap way. And basically, when we talk about macro photography, we're talking about making things appear larger, usually small things. So, you know, insects and flowers and quarters and marbles and anything small are really great subjects for macro photography because you can make them very large and very interesting, larger than you're normally used to seeing them. There's a little bit of terminology related to macro photography, but I'll try to keep it really, really not technical. First off, when we're talking about macro photography, you'll often hear, you know, ratios, 1 to 1, 1 to 10, 1 to 2. And basically what those numbers have to do with is the magnification of the object. So 1 to 1 is life size. So whatever you're using, if you're achieving 1 to 1, you're basically getting life size effect. So the size of the quarter that you see in real life should appear roughly the same size on your photograph. If we're talking about 1 to 10, so that's 1/10 life size. If we're talking about 1 to 2, that's half life size. If we're talking about 2 to 1, that's double life size. So it's twice as large in the picture than it is in reality. Just a couple of basic terms. Okay, on to it right away. So probably one of the cheapest ways, if not the cheapest way, of doing, you know, a fake macro setup or a cheap macro setup is going to be using a reversing ring. And a lot of people don't know about it. Some do, but some don't. And basically what a reversing ring allows you to do is to mount your lens backwards onto your camera. And you can do this for digital photography, and you can do this for conventional photography as well. I could kick myself in the butt real hard on this one because I actually have a reversing ring somewhere, in quotation marks, and I search high and wide for the sucker and I couldn't find it. But basically what you do is you mount your lens backwards on the camera and you can shoot through it. And it's pretty cool. The magnification is quite good. A popular lens to do it on is the 50mm lens. They're really cheap in both conventional and digital photography. So if you find yourself a reversing ring, you just mount one end of the reversing ring to the camera, and then the other end mounts to the lens, which is mounted on backwards. There's actually a picture on the blog. It's quite funny, but it actually works with restrictions. Ah, the restrictions. You knew there was a problem, or you knew there was some variable that was going to make it more difficult than all that. So you can get reversing rings for really cheap. You can find them on eBay for like 10 bucks. You can buy them for 20 or 30 bucks from a lot of different places. Links, of course, to go in the show notes. But basically what happens is you have to choose your aperture. Actually, let me back up half a step. There's different reversing rings for different cameras. You're going to have to search for the one that fits your camera. But most reversing rings are the ones that I have some familiarity with, don't allow you to change the f-stop while it's mounted on the camera, and they don't allow you to focus the sucker while it's mounted on the camera. So it is a bit difficult to work with, but the results are really good. So what you normally do is you choose the aperture that you want to shoot at, and straight off, when you're shooting macro, you lose depth of field as you approach. Depth of field refers to the degree of sharpness from foreground to background, and whereas in normal photography, you know, you really have a wide variety of depths of field to choose from, most people, when they're shooting macro photography, want to choose a very, very small aperture. So a larger F number, you know, F22, F32, and they shoot that way. That's because as you approach small subjects, you really lose depth of field and things tend to look really, really blurry. So in order to get good sharpness, you'll want to stop down. And you'll want to stop down before you mount the sucker onto your camera backwards. To focus, you basically have to move the camera toward your subject and further away from your subject until you achieve sharp focus. You'll also want to use a tripod for this. It'll make your life so much easier because you'll never be able to fire the shutter at the right distance if it's, or I shouldn't say never, but it'll be really bloody hard to focus properly if you're not on a tripod. So you move the whole camera and the tripod to or from your subject until you achieve fine focus and then just shoot. And that would be, in my opinion, one of the cheapest ways to get some good macro results from a really, really cheap setup. Now, another thing that we should talk about right away is the shutter speed. And especially if you're shooting outdoors, shutter speed comes into play. We've talked about this in previous podcasts, where if you're shooting a live subject, a human subject, for instance, you really can't shoot at less than a 60th of a second unless your subject is really in a still position. Because even though your camera might be mounted on a tripod, everyone moves slightly. You know, we can't stay perfectly still. And the amount of movement that we ourselves do is going to affect the exposure and going to create blur if we shoot a human subject at less than a 60th of a second in general. The same is very, very true for macro photography outside. So a lot of times we'll shoot flowers and we'll shoot insects, and we need to remember that those flowers and insects are moving with a bit of the wind. Especially the lighter and the more delicate the object is, the less wind it takes to move it. You need to be aware of that. So if you're starting to see some blurred out results, try choosing a faster shutter speed. And again, this is where the tripod comes in so handy. You'll have to use a faster shutter speed and you'll want to get the depth of field. It's tough. It's tough. There's always a compromise. So, you know, you're going to want to choose the fastest shutter speed you can for the shot, as well as the, you know, best depth of field you can for the shot if that's what you're going after. You can get, you know, more artsy-fartsy effects where, not artsy-fartsy effects, but selective focus effects rather, whereby, you know, you may want the majority of your photograph outside of sharp focus. So you may want to shoot at, I don't know, f2.8 or f4 or 5.6. But most people, you should know, are doing the reverse and they're trying to get sharper focus throughout. So they're stopping way down. Now, in order to keep some of these macro subjects, especially those outdoors, more still, you can use a P-lamp. And what a P-lamp is, it's an articulating arm made for macro subjects. So it's definitely not as sturdy as the arm I talked about a few weeks ago, where we talked about accessories where you could hold like 20 or 30 pounds. This might be, you know, quarter of a pound or something like this, or maybe a quarter of a kilo it might be able to hold. Certainly not more than that. So basically one end might attach to your tripod and the other end has a clamp. I'm going to put a link in the show notes and show a picture. And this can really help you focus on something because you can actually move the subject forward and backward with a reasonable amount of ease. Again, what you need to be aware of is that if it's very windy, the wind itself might move this P-lamp. So you need to be aware of that. So a P-lamp is just a clamp and it's useful for macro photography. And the next cheapest method to do macro is going to be using a close-up lens. And basically, when we talk about close-up lenses, they actually look more like filters than lenses. And they screw on to your lens. And you can use them on any lens that you have, so long as, you know, the threading works. So long as the threading is the same size, rather. And you can pick these up in varying qualities. And you can get them from anywhere from like $10 to $20 to a couple of $100 for these close-up lenses. In terms of the two large brands, Canon has the 250D and the 500D, or the 5T or the 6T for Nikon. I haven't tried them, but they're reportedly very, very good close-up lenses, though at that quality, you're talking about a couple hundred bucks, so I don't think that cheap falls into it when we're into the couple of $100 range. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It depends on your definition or how rich or poor you are, but it's definitely not as cheap as like a $20 or $30 reversing ring. That said, you can get lower quality ones for much cheaper, and that's what I actually have, and that's what I actually used for this test. And you can get them in varying strengths. You know, you can have a number one close-up lens, a number two close-up lens, a number five close-up lens. The higher you go, the more magnification. So for my test, I actually just shot, a cell phone, down and dirty shot. I took four shots. I have three close-up lenses, and I took four shots, one without any of the lenses, one with the lenses. And as the magnification increased, I needed to get closer to the subject. I shot this on my zoom lens, actually, and I left it at the 200 end throughout the range. So I left it at the 200 end and took four shots, and basically, as the magnification increased, my working distance decreased. And what the working distance refers to, and you'll hear about working distances with regard to macro photography all the time, working distance refers to the space between the end of your lens and your subject. And obviously, the more space you have, the easier it is to work. So the more magnification you're getting, the less space you have to work with. And just to give you an idea, when I used the close-up lens with the most power or the most magnification, I was roughly 10 inches from the subject. And then when I used the one with the least magnification of the ones that I have, I was probably about 2 feet from the subject. So it's just so much easier to work when there's more room, and it's something you need to be aware of. Now, even though my lenses were pretty cheap, they're pretty cheap lenses. I picked them up for next to nothing 100 years ago, and they still managed to fit on my Canon lens, and the quality was okay. I'm not going to say it's amazing. It was okay. In terms of quality on these types of close-up lenses, you have single-coated versus double-coated. Obviously, double-coated is better, and double-coated is going to reduce chromatic aberration. You don't need to worry about it. It's better. Double-coated, better, more expensive. So, you know, if you're just, a serious amateur or you're a hobbyist, don't go spending a couple of $100. You know, the close-up lenses by Canon or Nikon, they're a couple of $100. I wouldn't recommend that. There are other options available once you're spending a couple of $100. And the good thing about using these close-up filters is that they don't eat any light. The next method we're going to talk about using extension tubes, they eat f-stops of light. So there's no exposure compensation that you need to do for these. They're not dark, so you have to leave your camera open for longer. There's no adjustment that needs to be made. They're clear glass. I believe they're convex. Cave goes in, vex goes out, something like that. They're convex. So when you look at the lens, the curve is toward you, not toward the camera. But even though these close-up lenses are reasonably easy to work with, you just, you know, screw them onto your lens, it's not simple. There's a learning curve with macro photography. It doesn't matter what method you're going to choose, you'll note that there's a learning curve. And in my case, I found it easier just to actually physically, again, move, even though I could focus, you know, there was no restrictions as with the reversing ring, I found it easiest to actually move the camera forward and backward and then focus to start, as opposed to just getting fine focus from wherever I am. And you'll notice that it's a bit tricky, but not that tricky. Certainly, totally doable with the close-up lenses for sure. But like I said, the Canon and the Nikon ones, they're a couple of $100. And before I get into extension tubes, which comes next, there are some cheap macro lenses out there that really are getting really good reviews. And one in particular is a model by Phoenix, and it fits a lot of cameras and a lot of different ones. So it'll fit Pentaxes and Canons and Nikons, etc. And those lenses are less than the close-up lenses from a Nikon or Canon. So I believe that Phoenix can be had for about $150. And this is an actual lens. So it's not a screw-on filter. It's not a screw-on lens. It's an actual macro lens. And it's getting really good reviews. And macro lenses are the best thing to have. They're better than the cheapy way. They are the way. That's what the pros use when they want to take macro shots. They use a dedicated macro lens. So, you know, once we're going up the ladder of dollar value, at a certain point, you have to weigh, you know, is it worth it for me to spend a couple of $100 on a close-up lens, or should I just buy a dedicated macro lens? Most people you talk to, or most information that you'll read, will suggest, you know, buy the macro lens. And if you're really into it, you're going to want to save for a higher-end third-party lens. Tamron has a very good reputation, as well as, you know, Canon lenses and Nikon lenses, though those are going to be very, very expensive and do not by any means fit into the cheap scenario of, you know, cheap macro photography. And the last way I'm going to talk about cheap macro is by using extension tubes. And I kind of have to apologize in advance because I really wanted to try extension tubes for this podcast myself. I've never tried them. I wanted to try them. So I figured, you know what? Montreal's a pretty big city. You know, I believe it's the, you know, second or third largest city in Canada. Actually, I think it's the second. Yeah. So I went to two of the largest photo stores, you know, that rent stuff here in Montreal, and neither of them had extension tubes for rent. And, you know, it was going to cost me $20 to rent it. Yahoo, no problem. I'll deduct it. You know, it's no problem. $20. I could definitely afford to have some fun, get good shots, and, you know, have material for the podcast. But no one had anything to rent. In fact, they didn't even know what the heck I was talking about for the most part. I guess I won't name the stores, but it was a little sad. They did have Kenko extension tubes new, but they were $180. And, I just don't do enough macro to justify purchasing extension tubes. Though I must say that, you know, I have heard stories that you can pick them up for cheap on eBay. When I looked for cheap on eBay, Kenko extension tubes, there were none to be found. So basically what an extension tube is it just adds length to your lens. So you unmount your lens, you attach one end of the extension tube to the camera, and then the lens into the extension tube, and basically it allows you to focus closer. It's really, really useful, and they're really good. I must say I played with it for about 10 or 15 minutes just in the store, just to get a feel for it, and they were hard to play with. There was a learning curve there too, and I didn't have my tripod, and I couldn't tell them I'm doing a podcast, so I could just shoot at the store. So I just played for a few minutes, and you need a tripod for this sucker, for sure. You're definitely going to want a tripod, unless, I don't know, you're shooting outside and there's monster light. Then maybe, but I would highly recommend using a tripod anyway. So again, these extension tubes come with different magnifications, and you can put one extension tube on another extension tube, so you could use two for more magnification. What's good about them is that they don't play with the optical quality because there's no glass. It's just air, right? So it's totally clear. You could look through it. There's no glass whatsoever in them. Now, the bad thing, or one of the disadvantages, is you have very close working distances. And I found those distances to be really close. So, for instance, on my close-up lens that I used at the highest magnification, I had about 10 inches of a working distance between my lens with the most magnification power. But I was closer than that when I was in the store. I was like within a couple of inches to the object, and I found it difficult to work with. Again, I don't have that much experience, and if people who listen to this podcast have a lot of experience, please give me some pointers too, and maybe I will try and pick up a used set at some point on eBay. But the working distance was very, very small, and what you need to be aware of is that they eat stops of light. So basically, when using these extension tubes, you have to make compensation in the exposure.
Actually, to be fair, using this method, you're not going to have to do it yourself. The camera is going to compensate for you, but it will eat some stops of light.
This can be a real pain in the butt, because let's say you have lenses that are f4 lenses and f5.6 lenses. So they're not fast lenses, they're slower lenses. Well, if you have to add a stop to compensate, then already you're at, you know, f5.6,
And when you try and look through your camera at f5.6 or at f8, it's much darker than when you're looking at through your viewfinder with a faster lens, you know, which has an f2.8 minimum f-stop, let's say. So you need to be aware of that. This is going to be especially true inside rather than outside, because outside you'll have a lot of light, it'll appear brighter, but you need to be aware of this. And especially if you get into magnification greater than 1:1, whereas it's 2 times life size or 3 times life size, then there's even more light fall off. And you're definitely going to need a tripod, and it may be more difficult to see the actual subject. There's ways around it. You can, you know, shine a flashlight on it while you focus the shot and then turn the flashlight off. I mean, there's lots of things you can do. You just need to be aware that they're not the easiest things to use. There is a bit of a learning curve, but the shots are really, really amazing because there's no optical degradation as with cheap close-up lenses. And one last note, that the shorter the lens you're using, the greater the light fall off. And the longer the lens you're using, the less light fall off. So you just need to be aware of those facts. If you can, I highly recommend renting these things. So I actually found a couple places on the web where you could rent them. They were easy to rent in the States, but by the time they added shipping to Canada, it was really, not really worth it, unfortunately. And it was going to take a while to get here. But, you know, if you're in no rush and you find a local place that you could just rent it directly or someplace on the net that will just ship it to you, wow, that's just like the best of both worlds because you get to try it before you buy it. One thing else with extension tubes that's cool is that you can also use them with teleconverters. They're mostly used for, landscape photography or for zooming things. So, you know, let's say you have a 200 millimeter lens and you're photographing a bird and you slap a teleconverter on it, you know, you can bring that bird even closer. So if you already have a teleconverter, you can use those with extension tubes and close-up filters, put them all together, and you can make things really, really large and take some really cool shots. You just have to be aware that it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, because it's definitely not as easy as just photographing a human or normal sized object. And I believe that's going to do it for this week's podcast. I'm going to try and put these out. I keep saying it. I so want to be able to put them out once a week. And for the past long while, it's once every 2 weeks about. I'm so going to try and put out more. You got my word on that. I'm going to try my hardest. For our next podcast, I already have it half prepared. We're going to start talking about lighting a little bit. And in particular, we're going to start from the basics. So we're going to talk about one light portraits. And I really think you're going to enjoy it. So thanks very much for listening, everyone. Please send comments and questions. It's all good. If you want to get in touch with me by email, it's photography.ca@gmail.com. Thanks again, everyone. Shoot some pictures. Have a great time. Experiment, play, compare, learn. Until next time, keep on shooting, everyone. Bye for now.